Please turn in your Bibles tonight to Psalm 46. Psalm 46, and I'll read the entire psalm. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, and though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its swelling pride. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy dwelling places of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She will not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations made an uproar, the kingdoms tottered. He raised his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Come and behold the works of the Lord, who has wrought desolations in the earth, and makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariots with fire. Cease striving and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. We've been living in these past months through this time of the pandemic. It continues. We do not know how long, how strong it will be. We do not know what will happen and when life will return to a normal state. And in our country, there's been this unrest, turmoil. Many who openly, aggressively express their hatred for our nation, their desire to even tear down its institutions and its government. We have an election that is coming up. We do not know what the outcome and the result of it will be. We do not know what will happen even in the election, in the process of the election, and what will take place afterwards. Institutions that have stood for generations, even centuries, seem to be threatened. The foundations are shaking, it seems, in many ways. And so in a time like this, it is good for us to turn to a psalm like Psalm 46. Many of the psalms are written with specific purposes in mind, and this one is to stir up confidence and hope in the power of God in a time of trouble. When providence looks black and threatening, when troubles come upon God's people and His church, we are to always look to God with confidence, hope, and faith in Him and His great power over providence and His gracious presence with us. There is perhaps no other psalm more well known to help us in that direction than this Psalm 46. Martin Luther, the Protestant reformer of the 16th century, he was a man of uncommon courage and strength of heart. But when dark times came and he heard discouraging and depressing news, and he did at times, he felt his heart begin to melt. Then he would turn to those who were with him and he would say, "Come, let us sing the 46th Psalm." And his most famous hymn, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God," grew out of his meditations on this psalm. When the city of London was shaken by a great earthquake in 1750 and the earth was moved and the mountains quaked, it was this psalm that John Wesley preached to the people. Most likely, this psalm was written by the sons of Korah when Sennacherib, the And the Assyrian army had come down and besieged the city of Jerusalem. The nations were in a great uproar against God's people, and they were in danger. King Hezekiah and the people felt that their only hope and their only refuge was in the Lord. It was a time of national calamity, but it was followed by great victory as the angel of the Lord came and destroyed the enemy army and made a desolation of them in a single blow. So as we look at this psalm tonight, we can divide it into three parts. In each part, we learn of who God is to different groups of people. In the first three verses, we learn who God is to all his people. Who he is to all his people. Verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. This is the truth of who he is and his relation to us. And he states here who God is and who we should always know him to be. God is our refuge and our strength. A refuge is a place, a fortress, where we may go to hide ourselves and find safety and protection from any danger that is against us. A refuge is a place of stability and strength. And God himself certainly is an unshakable stability and infinite strength, and he will never be moved. A refuge is a place of peace and calm and tranquility in the midst of the storms and the troubles and confusion of life. And God is surely a God in perfect peace, a God of calm tranquility, transcendent above all the tumult of this world. So he is the very refuge that we need. Are we oppressed by troubles all around us? Are we distressed by dangers and difficulties from whatever source? Are we pursued by our enemies? Then we need a refuge, and we need a place of safety, stability, and strength. We need a place of peace and comfort, and we find that refuge in the person of God himself. God is our refuge. He is the one to whom we can go and hide ourselves from all of our troubles in him and find rest and peace. Psalm 62 and verse 8, trust in the Lord at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Psalm 18 and verse 10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runs into it and is safe. Psalm 63 and verse 7, thou hast been my help, the psalmist said, and in the shadow of thy wings I will sing for joy. But not only is God our refuge, in verse 1, he is also our strength, which means that he is our source of all strength. His strength is sent down to us from his throne. His strength becomes our strength, so that we may rely upon his strength as if it were our own. One man says we may feel as safe in his strength as though we had his strength ourselves. Are we pressed down and burdened with anxieties and labors? And do we feel at times that we have lost our strength and courage to press on in the struggles of the Christian life in this world of sin? Then in those times, God is our strength, the one who gives this strength to us and supports us and upholds us under the burdens of life. Psalm 121, from where shall my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Psalm 68 and verse 35, the God of Israel himself gives strength and power to the people. And the Lord Jesus said, my power is perfected in weakness. We should not miss the very personal nature of this reality in the beginning of verse 1. God is our refuge and our strength. And what lies behind this is his covenant promise, I will be your God and you will be my people. So that we belong to him as God, as our God. And we are his people. We can look to him and say, you are my God in heaven. And he can look upon us and declare us to be his people. You are our God who is our refuge and our strength. And as our refuge and strength, he says at the end of verse 1, he is a very present help in trouble. Very present means always present. Abundantly available for our help in every time of trouble. Always accessible to us. He does not leave us to ourselves in our times of trouble. He comes to us and is very present. He is very near to us with divine and almighty help. It seems the first half of the verse, we are the ones who draw near to him as a refuge and our strength. And in the second half of the verse, he is the one now who draws near to us as a very present help in time of trouble. We may draw near to him at the throne of grace, and he always gives grace to help us in every time of need. We are to draw near to God, James says, and he will draw near to you. And God is, in these times of trouble, he is a tested and tried help. Meaning that he has proven himself throughout all of the ages to always be a faithful and powerful help in every time of trouble and need. He has been tested throughout the history of his people. He has always proven himself to be present with them in times of trouble. He has never failed to be their refuge and their strength. And he is an all-sufficient help. He sends the help that we need. And it is accommodated to us as it is needed. No matter what may fall upon us, no matter what trouble or trial or perplexity, he is the God who is always a refuge, a strength for us, and a help to his people. Others may forsake us. Men may abandon us in times of trouble. Even our best of friends may not stand with us. But God will never leave us or forsake us, no matter what troubles we encounter. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. The psalmist said, the Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. But the knowledge of God as our refuge, strength, and help in times of trouble ought to have a very great effect upon us, and that's what he speaks of in the beginning of verse 2. He says, therefore. The word therefore, a very common word in the Bible. The Bible states a great truth, and then it often says, therefore, based upon that great truth. This should be our response. And that's what the psalmist is saying here. If God, the Almighty God, is our refuge, if the Creator of the ends of the earth is our strength, if the God who rules all of providence is our very present help in time of trouble. Then therefore, what should be the effect of this upon us? We will not fear. How can there be any real danger that would come upon us to produce dread and fear? It is irrational if he is our refuge and our strength and a very present help for us in every time of trouble. This speaks of a freedom from all fears, a very real and powerful release from the dreads of this life, a strong confidence and hope in God. As Romans chapter 8 said, if God is for us, then who can be against us? And if God is our refuge and strength and our very present help for us in every time of trouble, then how can we fear? Paul said, be anxious for nothing, but with prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God that surpasses all comprehension shall guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. And Peter said in 1 Peter 5 and verse 6, he said that we are to cast all of our anxiety upon him, knowing that he cares for us. So this is freedom from fear, and it is not a freedom just from the small and the insignificant events of life, but it is a freedom from fear in the face of the very worst possible dangers and the greatest calamities. No matter what may come upon us in this life, the most frightful changes, desolations that may come, even death itself. Therefore, we will not fear. And then he says, even in the midst of these things, though the earth should change, and though the mountains would slip into the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its swelling pride, the earth should change, great earthquakes could come, and the earth itself is shaken and changes. And what seems stronger than the great mountains? They seem so firm. They appear to us to be so fixed, immovable, great mountains. But when they begin to tremble and quake, and they are lifted up from their foundations and removed, and they slip down into the very heart and the depths of the sea, never to be seen again, then if that can take place, then surely all things in this world can come apart. And there is no danger or calamity that could not come to pass. But the psalmist said, even if these things should take place, yet we still will not fear. Because the God who is our refuge and our strength is still unchanged. He is unmoved on his throne of everlasting stability and power and strength in heaven. And he is undisturbed by all the great commotions of the earth. The foundations of his throne have been settled from all eternity. He is at ease. He is the God of perfect peace. And in the midst of all of these such things, he is still the sovereign God who rules over all things. He is unshaken by any of these upheavals. And because he is our God, therefore we will not fear. The nations can be engulfed in wars. Revolutions may come, the earth tossed into confusion, and all combined against God and his people. And yet if our God is unmoved, and if he is our strength and our refuge and a very present help for us, the place of safety, security, stability for us, then as the people of God we may pass through everything in this life safely and be free from fear in the midst of it all. The thought here is that there is nothing in this world that is stable and secure. If the earth can be moved, if mountains can slip into the sea, then there is nothing in this world that can be trusted as stable and secure forever. But yet God himself is, and the foundations of his throne will never be moved. We see this confidence in God because of his presence with us in various psalms. Psalm 23 and verse 4. David says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Psalm 27 in verse 3, though a host encamp against me, my heart will not fear, though war arise against me. In spite of this, I shall be confident. And then we have Psalm 91. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. And then he says, my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. For it is he who delivers you from the snare of the trapper and from the deadly pestilence. You will not be afraid of the terror by night, or of the arrow that flies by day, or of the pestilence that stalks in darkness, or of the destruction that lays waste at noon. Though 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not approach you and cause you ultimate harm, because God is your God, your refuge and strength, and a very present help in time of trouble. What we are really dealing with here are objective truths from God's word that are outside of ourselves and can never be changed. We are speaking here of the character and the nature of God. His eternal character is unchanged. We are speaking here of his throne and his glory in heaven. These things are truths that are immovable, outside of ourselves, immovable and unchanging. But then we have the great truth of his Son, Jesus Christ, and everything that he has accomplished for our salvation. He has come into this world, and he has finished all of his work of salvation for us, an objective truth outside of ourselves that is fixed and unchanging. He is risen from the dead. He has ascended back into heaven, and he is at the right hand of God, with all power and glory forevermore. And he will return on the last day to bring us into his eternal kingdom. These are truths that can never be changed, regardless of the mountain slipping into the heart of the sea and the greatest convulsions, calamities, and dangers that could happen to us in this life. Romans chapter 8 tells us there is neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall ever be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. When the unbeliever sees these things taking place, and all that he thought was stable, shaking, and coming undone, then he is in great fear. But those who have their minds set upon the great God of heaven, where Christ is at his right hand, and their life is hidden with Christ in God, and their treasures are stored up there, they have no need to fear, though the earth should change and the mountains slip into the heart of the sea. So this is who God is to his people. But then in the second place, we want to see who God is to his church, who he is to his church. In verse 4, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy dwelling places of the Most High. The psalmist, his concern here is the city of God. Jerusalem of the Old Testament here is what he speaks of, the place of his temple and the holy dwelling places of the Most High. In Jerusalem there was a river. The river of Siloam, and the river passed through the city of Jerusalem. It was not a fast and roaring river with great depth and breadth. It was rather a slow, quiet, and very gentle river in its flow. But it had been of great benefit to the people of God and kept many alive when the city was besieged by its enemies. And the psalmist here speaks spiritually. The river that flows is the covenant of salvation and the Holy Spirit with his grace promised in that covenant. And the streams are the promises of God and the comforts that flow from them. God's word and his ordinances in his temple bring the waters of this river to us and make the people of God glad. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. And these spiritual waters, they come softly, gently through the city of Jerusalem, like the river of Siloam. And God speaks to us in this quiet voice through his word and through his promises. The mountains are slipping into the heart of the sea, and the waters are roaring and foaming, and yet there is still this gentle, soft river that passes through the temple, the city of God, and makes the people there to rejoice. The earth is tossed into great confusion. The hearts of worldly men are in despair and gloom. But in the church, the temple of God in the New Testament, there is still this river that always flows from heaven down to us by the grace of God's promises and the Holy Spirit, and makes the people of God glad. The greatest convulsion will come at the end of this world. There are many convulsions in the present world, but the worst shaking of this earth, the entire earth will be shaken on the last day. Jesus said in Luke chapter 21, upon the earth, when that day comes, upon the earth there will be dismay among the nations. In perplexity at the roaring of the sea and of the waves. Men fainting with fear, he said, and the expectation of things that are coming upon the world. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken, and then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with great glory and power. And when that day comes, what will happen to his people? He tells us, Jesus says, when these things begin to take place, straighten up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. That's what we do. When that great shaking of the heavens and the earth comes on the last day. In verse 5, he says, God is in the midst of her, and she will not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. He promises his special presence in his church because she is the temple and the dwelling place of his Spirit and his special treasure on the earth. His honor and his glory in the earth are attached to his church. He has set up his own worship in her. He has special care for her. He has given all power in heaven and earth into the hands of his Son as the head over all things to the church. But the greatest promise and the highest blessing of all is that God is in the midst of her, and so she will not be moved in the midst of these great convulsions and tumults. God will help her when morning dawns. The church must pass through the darkness of this present life. But the darkness of this present world will not last forever. The morning dawn will come. And when it comes, God will be there in the very beginning of the dawn. God will help her. He has been with her through all the darkness of the night, and he will still be with her, and he will help her when the morning dawns. The mountains may quake. The strongest and most stable things in the earth will tremble. But his kingdom and his church will remain to the end, throughout the eternal world to come. God will help her when morning dawns. We see in verse 7, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. And the same thing again down in verse 11. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. He is with us. He is present in the midst of his church. And the great God is himself our strength and our stronghold. So this is who God is to his church, and then in the last place we see who God is to unbelievers. In verse 6, the nations made an uproar, the kingdoms tottered. He raised his voice, the earth melted. Verse 8 and 9, come behold the works of the Lord, who has wrought desolations in the earth. He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariots with fire. The heathen nations were in a rebellion against the Lord. The surrounding nations had revolted against him. The Assyrians besieged the city of Jerusalem. The nations were in rage, in an uproar against the Lord. And they were devising their schemes, and they were gathering their powers together to oppose the great God and his kingdom. But the God of Israel is the king of all the nations, and he governs with his power and his providence. And whenever it pleases the Lord, he frustrates all the plans of the people. And he guides all things to his own glory and his own ends. He does according to his will among the hosts of heaven and the inhabitants of the earth. And there is no man who can stop his hand or say, what hast thou done? And what we see here is his response to the uproar of the nations. In verse 8, the nations make an uproar. The kingdoms totter. But all God needs to do is raise his voice, and the earth itself melts. The uproar of the nations is silenced. The things that men trusted in disappear before their eyes. And whenever it pleases him, in verse 8, he brings about desolations, destructions, and havoc upon the nations of the earth. And then in verse 9, whenever it pleases him, he brings about peace and stability again. He causes wars to cease even to the ends of the earth, and he destroys the weapons of men. The point here is that the safety and the stability of the nations depends entirely upon God. War and peace among the nations. Order or disorder are ultimately from him. Prosperity, adversity, or trouble are the work of his hands. Men think that the affairs of earth are in their hands. They think they have peace by their own wisdom and their treaties and agreements. They think they have prosperity and order because of their cleverness and their ingenuity. But the God of heaven is on his throne, and he rules over all things, and all of these things are ultimately his doing. Come, behold the works of the Lord. He brings desolations, or he brings peace and stability. So we have seen who God is to his people. He is a refuge and a strength and a very present help in time of trouble. We have seen who he is to his church. He is the God of blessing and sends the river of delight to her. And we have seen who he is to the nations, that he is a God of sovereignty who rules over all of their affairs to the very ends of the earth. But now we come to the last two verses, a final exhortation based upon these things, verse 10 and 11. He says, "Cease striving and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold." The psalmist has been the one speaking throughout the other verses of this psalm. As God's prophet, he wrote. But now, in verse 10, it is God himself who speaks, and he speaks to all men, to all the nations, and he speaks to his people as well. To the nations, and to his enemies in the earth. He tells them here to cease striving, to be still and to rage against him no more. To know that he is God. He is infinitely above them. And all of their rebellion, their uproar, their efforts against his name, his honor, and his people, all of it is in vain. And it will come to nothing in the end. It seems to us at times, very often, that the wicked are allowed to run loose in this world and exalt themselves and do whatever they wish to do and to have their own way, and there seems to be no consequences for them. But God here says no. The time is coming when he will have his own way, and he will be the one who is exalted among all the nations, and he and his truth and his righteousness and his justice will be exalted to throughout all the earth. The pride of man will be humbled, and the Lord alone will be exalted in that day. Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 11, the proud look of man will be abased, and the loftiness of man will be humbled, and the Lord alone will be exalted in that day. And God here speaks to his own people as well. He says, cease striving and know that I am God. He means be still and be calm and fear no more in the midst of all the tumults of the nations and the earth. Take all of your anxiety and cast it aside. Take peace to your soul and leave all matters in the hands of God, who will be your comfort, your refuge, your strength. He will maintain his own honor in the earth. He will fulfill all of his counsel. His eternal plans for his glory will all come to pass. His promises will all be fulfilled. He will carry out his interests among all the earth. He will care for his people and he will save them eternally in the end. He has almighty power. He has infinite wisdom and love. Be still, he says, and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. God has highly exalted already his beloved Son, Jesus Christ, and given him a name that is above every name. And the day is coming when at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow among those who are in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. When the nation of Israel was pinned in between the Red Sea on one side and the Egyptians on the other, Moses said to them, stand still and see the salvation of God. And that's what the psalmist is telling us here. In the midst of all the changes, the tumults, the uproar of the people, be still, cease striving, and know that I am God. So whatever convulsions, troubles take place, whatever changes there may be, it is our great privilege to be calm and still and to rest peacefully in the great God of heaven. Though everything may appear dark at times, and everything may appear contrary, to us as his people, the enemies of truth even sometimes appear to triumph, but it will only be for a little while longer. And in the end, he will show to all the world that he is God, and he will be exalted among all the nations. Our great hope is in who he is, the eternal, unchanging God of infinite power and strength. And we exalt in the hope of the glory of God. It is our expectation as we look forward for the world to come that he will reveal himself in this way. And there will be, the world is moving toward that one great event when it will be the end of all of this present world and the revelation of the glory of our great God in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for the glorious God that is revealed to us in Scripture, that He is the true and the living God, and there is none other. Thank you that He is our great strength, our refuge in every time of trouble and need. And we do thank you that you have never failed your people, and you will never leave us or abandon us. So we ask you to keep us, help us to fix our eyes upon you, that we might have the confidence, the hope that should be ours in the midst of dangers and troubles and tumults. We do pray for your mercy upon our nation at this time, in the midst of the virus, in the midst of the unrest, in the midst of the election upcoming. May your will be done. May you have mercy upon us. And thank you, Lord Jesus, for your great salvation. And keep our eyes fixed upon you, that we may rest and have peace in all of who you are and all that you have done for us as sinners. You are our only hope. And so we ask you to hear us and bless your word to us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.